The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action.
Welcome back to Faith in Action, a show about welfare, humanitarian aid, and service around the world. We're so happy to be able to have Brother and Sister Walton here with us, Brother Val Walton and Sister Margie Walton, who have just recently returned in February from a 18-month mission to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, or KL, as the people there call it, in Malaysia, Asia. And so thank you very much, Brother and Sister Walton, for sharing some time with us here to speak about your mission. Brother and Sister Walton, for some people, it may not be common knowledge that the Church has humanitarian missionaries. Now, your mission, you are humanitarian and welfare missionaries, but how does this come about? Is it like a normal proselyting mission where you have a certain call, or did you volunteer for it? How did it come about?
Well, the way it came about is we decided about 2 years ago that we wanted to go on a mission, and so we just put our papers in. We filled out all the same forms that anyone would who wanted to go on a mission, and then just sent our papers in. We didn't specify in any way where we wanted to go or what we wanted to do, and so we were very thrilled when we received our call and we were able to go to Malaysia and to be able to do humanitarian welfare work there.
Oh, so you could have potentially been like a proselyting missionaries or any type of missionaries that the Church offers. You had no idea that it could have been humanitarian aid?
No, we didn't. In the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping for that.
So what happened then when you opened up your papers and the both of you read that you were going to go to this to KL, Malaysia? What were your thoughts when you opened it up?
We had no idea where Malaysia was.
Where is Malaysia? Just for those who don't know.
Malaysia is at the tip of the Malaysian peninsula below Thailand. Our mission was actually called the Singapore Mission, but that was our ecclesiastical arm that we were attached to. Singapore is right at the bottom of the Malaysian peninsula, so we had that area. Malaysia is in two parts, the peninsula being where the bulk of the people live and where the more civilized part of the world is, if you will. And then East Malaysia is an island on Borneo, the island of Borneo. And so you have Malaysia and Indonesia and the little country of Brunei consisting of that area. It's on the South China Sea.
And now you have three children and grandchildren as well. What were their response to you two going to Malaysia?
They were very excited, as we were. I know when we opened up the envelope and saw Singapore Mission Malaysia, I was really just kind of stunned and very excited. I don't know, I just really felt like the Lord really loved us to be sending us there to do humanitarian work. And our kids' reactions, all of them were just thrilled for us.
So what were some of the questions that you had after you opened it up? I mean, you had mentioned that you didn't quite know where Malaysia was, but what kind of preparation and research did you do about the mission?
Oh, any books that we could find. We went to the library, you know, you look on the map, you start asking people, and it's amazing how many people had connections to that area of the world that we came in contact with. So it was really neat the way, you know, you just come in contact with people that have been there or know about it.
Did you have to learn a different language to be able to be humanitarian missionaries there?
No, we were fortunate in Malaysia. There are three different, many different languages spoken there. But the main language is Bahasa Malay, and then they also speak Chinese and Tamil. But they also speak a lot of English, and English is taught in the schools. And so when we would encounter, most of the people that we dealt with wanted to speak English to us. And so we knew a little bit just kind of to get by with. And if we got into deep situations where we couldn't understand, then we would have to get someone to help us translate. But we didn't really run onto that too much.
In fact, just saying, one of the main things we did while we were there, we taught a lot of English in various capacities, whether it was in somebody's home, in a community center, in a church, in many, many applications. And so that's what a lot of our mission was involved in, is teaching a little bit of everything, and English was one.
For proselyting missionaries, they would usually go to the missionary training center to help them get prepared for teaching the gospel or living the life of a missionary, I would assume. What did the both of you have to go to a missionary training center, or where did you get your training about what kind of humanitarian and welfare needs you would be doing?
Provo, like everybody else did. We just had an extra week of specifically humanitarian welfare training.
What kind of training did they give you then?
They gave us directions as to what we would be doing and how would we be doing it. We would go out and find people and service projects to do. Service projects, they call them area initiatives. And so we would go find those. While we're at the MTC, they taught us some of the paperwork that would be required. Unlike many missionaries, we had two people that we communicated with on a regular basis. The humanitarian welfare was out of Hong Kong, and we spoke and dealt with what were they called, area managers?
Area.
Yeah, they were area. And then our ecclesiastic leader was our mission president, President Skelton, out of Singapore. We just had a combination. Our mission ended up being we did both jobs. Halfway through our mission, we was called to help in the proselyting part of the church and help develop a new branch over there.
So again, for those who are just joining us, we're speaking with Brother and Sister Walton, who served in Malaysia on a humanitarian welfare mission. Now, after you had finished your time in Provo at the Missionary Training Center, you of course went on a flight there to Malaysia. What was it like, and what was your first impressions when you got off the plane and were in Malaysia now?
We had a long ride, unfortunately, but we first went to Singapore. Again, Singapore is there's a bridge that connects Singapore and Malaysia, and that's where the church's office is at, and that's where our mission president was there. And we spent a couple of days there getting our instructions from him and getting information as to what was expected of us based upon his needs, and then also explaining our what we call visa runs. We were on a 90-day visitor's visa, so we would have to leave the country every 90 days.
What was it like?
The weather, it was quite humid, more than we were used to. We were used to a dry climate. But the people were wonderful, very friendly, and we just, you know, would talk to anyone we could along the way. And well, when we went to our apartment, first of all, we got into a taxi and loaded all our stuff into a taxi, and we told them the address. And the taxi driver wasn't even sure where it was at either. But we finally found our apartment, and I was very pleasantly surprised. It was much nicer than I ever expected.
For those who don't know, this is where you would stay for the entire 18 months. You were not transferred around. Is that correct?
No, we were transferred around. We were transferred up, yeah, in the middle of our mission.
That's where the prophecy side of it came in to be when we talked about President Skelton asking us if we would, shall we say, extend ourselves a little bit. And so we transferred up to the state of Penang to a little, I shouldn't say little town, it was a million plus, but a place called Butterworth.
And I assume, were the living conditions about the same in the two different areas?
Living conditions were the same, but the cities were altogether different.
Really? What was different about them?
Oh, to give you an idea, we were all of 4 kilometers away from those big twin towers that you see on television. And so it's very, very modern. It's Kuala Lumpur is the equivalent of Washington, D.C. In fact, it's not a state within Malaysia. It's a federation, if you will. And so that's where all the embassies were located, and just very, very modern city. But yet at the same time, you could look around the corner and you'd find what they call kampongs, which were very, very primitive in our standards.
And so when you got to your place in KL or Kuala Lumpur, how soon then did you start to get to work? What was it, how soon were you getting to work then?
Well, first off, we called after we reached our apartment and we started to get settled a little bit. We called the district president. And we met with him soon after we had arrived there. We went to lunch with him and got acquainted with him, and also with the branch president as well. But it took us about a week, I guess. We took time and organized things the way we wanted them and found where the grocery store was and all those different types of things. And then we were really ready and excited to go to work after a week. We were ready to get.
Was there any certain type of fear when you were coming here, or did you just trust everything would be all right?
No, we really didn't have a lot of fear, and people have asked us that question many times. Well, weren't you nervous over there? And we really didn't feel that way. We looked at it in a lot of ways. It was just kind of an exciting adventure, and I don't know, the people there were so kind and good and interesting, just so many different cultures. It was fun.
This is Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel, and we're speaking with Brother Val Walton and Sister Margie Walton, who served in Malaysia as missionaries for 18 months, a humanitarian and welfare mission. Brother and Sister Walton, what kind of things and projects did you do while you were there in Malaysia?
That was one of the most difficult things for us to get going in our own mind. We didn't get a lot of specifics as to what we should be doing. It was up to us to find it. We worked with what is called an NGO, and we had no idea what that was. That's a non-governmental organization. They're volunteer organizations. So we had to try and find out what to do. Now, the church, they have major initiatives, wheelchairs. You've heard of wheelchairs, and we were involved with that. The church helps with the neonatal resuscitation training, where doctors and nurses would come to countries, and we were following up with that. There was a major one of those done. These are some of the things. We had 7 major initiatives. A lot of people say, well, what about water projects? Well, in West Malaysia, where there was no need, so we didn't do that. So our major challenge, if I can put it that way, was to try and find the area initiatives that Hong Kong and Salt Lake would allow us to do. And after a lot of stumbling and frustration and prayer to try and find out what we were to do, some of the main things that we started doing is, this is where the welfare came into play. We got together with the branches. There's no stakes in Malaysia. we got together with the local district, actually, and the branches, and says, would you help us put together some tables and chairs, physically put together some tables and chairs, and finish them, and then give them to the needy schools. In this case, the needy schools happen to be the Indian population, and that was one of our first major projects we got involved. The key to the whole thing was, of course, finding the need, which is always easy, but what the church was trying and is still trying to do is to teach the principle of welfare, the provident living. You know, the church has a major website on that, and to teach not only the recipients, but the givers. And so this is what was one of the major projects that we did.
Brother Walton, for those who may not be members of the church, could you explain the principle of provident living or principle of welfare, as you've mentioned?
Well, I guess the simplest way would be to use the old phrase, is to teach people how to fish rather than give them a fish. And so we would use our donations that members and non-members would give to the church to be able to supply, in this case, tables and chairs, but in so much of the place in the world, food and clothing and et cetera, is given through the welfare program of the church.
Now, Sister Walton, I assume you were a part of this as well, getting all the tables and chairs set up and helping get this area initiative going. What kind of work was needed to build these tables? Who was involved in doing that?
That was the fun part. We were able to involve the branch members, the youth. Our first project involved the youth and their leaders and some parents of the children that attended the school, and then we were also able to involve the principal of the school. They call them headmasters, and also some of the PTA members came out, and we had a great group of people, and we just got together. The tables were already in pieces, and so we had to assemble them and then put a coat of clear varnish on them to protect them. And the youth really enjoyed that. They really got into the project. Many of them had never done anything like that before in their lives. And so they thought it was really fun. I remember asking some of the young women about it, and they said, oh, we've got three chairs put together. They were really excited.
How many chairs and tables were there?
There were about 40 tables and... No, I can't remember how many chairs, 120 chairs that went with that first project.
This material was bought locally. This is the other thing that the church is trying to do, is rather than ship this stuff around the world from Salt Lake, we would get our funds, of course, from the humanitarian part of the church's donations, and that would come from Salt Lake to Hong Kong and to us. And so we would have to find suppliers locally, and that served multiple purposes. Number one, it helped their economy rather than the cost of shipping.
These schools, they had no idea that this was going to be coming. Is that correct?
No, we got together. The way we would do this, we would get together with either the NGOs, or in this case, we happened to get together with a previous district and branch president. He was an Indian man that lived in the area, and we asked him who could be recipients of this, and he says, I've got schools all over the place. He was involved with it very heavily, and so with his help, we identified, how many schools did we do? We did one on this particular one, but we did three within the Kuala Lumpur area throughout a period. But over a year that it took us to put it all together.
Was there any feeling from the recipients of, or any attitude of, why would you do this? Why would you come all the way from America to come and help us out?
We were asked that a lot. People just couldn't quite understand why we would donate our time and come over from our country, it, we were, you know, many people were very fascinated by that. And we stood out quite a bit over there. And so we had a lot of questions about things like that. And we gained a lot of respect with many people because of the fact that we had volunteered our time.
How would you answer them, Sister Walton, when they ask, why are you giving of your time to come and do this?
Well, it was easy. I love the people so much. I would just tell them I like to help others and I like to serve. And, we automatically became very good friends that way.
Just one thing that we haven't made clear, I guess, Malaysia is a Muslim country, and 50% of the population is Muslim, and so we're dealing with the government is Muslim, and that's who we would deal with, and then you have Chinese, which are Buddhist, the Indian are Hindu, and then whatever else, you know, then you've got some Christian organizations in there too. So as this is another thing that was quite remarkable in that regard, they couldn't understand why some white Christian people were coming into a Muslim country wanting to help out Muslims.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I can only imagine what their feelings were when you were giving them of this service. Now, this table and chair project for these schools that you were doing, was this the only project that you did while you were there, or how many projects did you end up doing?
Not enough.
We did another project that was really fun with some single struggling mothers. We worked with an NGO. His name was Henry. He was a very large Indian man, very jolly good man, and he tried to help a group of Indian single mothers that were struggling, and we were able to get some sewing machines and go in and do a sewing machine project where we were able to teach them how to learn to sew, and then they were able in turn to be able to look for employment and be able to find a way to better themselves with their lives, and that was a very rewarding project. It was done in a few different states. In fact, I think it's still going on today over there with the next couple.
That's incredible. Do you know by any chance how long humanitarian missionaries have been serving there?
If I'm not mistaken, we were the second ones going in.
So this was very new to the mission and new to the area.
Yes, there's been lots of proselyting couples in the past, but as far as the humanitarian couples coming in, it was... We replaced that. I'm almost sure it was the first couple went in there.
Brother Walton, of all the projects that you did you have a favorite project? I know that's difficult. That's like asking which of your children are your favorite. But was there one that you particularly enjoyed more than the others?
The first one was most satisfying because it was difficult to put together, and that was the tables and chairs. But what I had so much fun with was seeing the people that we would work with step up and start to take hold of what we were trying to teach them. One of the last things that we finally ended up delivering to a school, we put together a small, school kit. And they put, Your ward and stakes have done school kits and taken it up to the humanitarian center. You know, for years we've done that. Well, in KL, again, the economy is quite interesting. You have very, very wealthy people, unbelievably wealthy, and then you have the unbelievably poor. And one of the things that are going to get them out of poverty, of course, is the education. And so... through the help, again, with we primarily worked with the youth of the we had two districts that we worked with the youth to put together school kits and put them together in bags, pencils, papers, erasers, this type of thing like you do here locally. We bought it there locally and put it together based upon the needs that was necessary for that area and that part of the world. And we did three of those. The first ones we started to do, we did much of the work except for the labor side of it, putting together. And then the very last one, about the only thing we were involved with was making sure we had the money, and that was by the help of the church. The sisters and brothers that we had working organized the committees. They gathered the material and delivered the items to the various needy school kids throughout the area.
It's amazing. You had mentioned other helpers. Were there other missionaries, other humanitarian and welfare missionaries there that were there to assist you?
No, we were there by ourselves. There was a couple in East Malaysia. We never did get to meet them other than by phone. Indonesia is just right north, and there's two humanitarian couples in Indonesia because of the tsunami and everything that took place. And they did a lot of humanitarian work there. The church spent, millions of dollars there because of that tsunami back in the middle, 2004, what it was. But we were just there by ourselves, but at the same time we weren't, because we had a lot of real good church members there.
And they would come out and help just at the drop of a hat, I would assume.
Pretty much. I mean, it was new to them. And sometimes we didn't know whether or not the first go-around, how many would come. But the more they got involved in it, the more they got excited, and they were always asking, when's the next one? When's the next one?
Now, as it was getting closer to the end, you had mentioned about halfway through you ended up going and becoming proselyting missionaries.
Well, we never did stop being humanitarian. We just did both. Unlike the proselyting missionaries there, we rented a car while we were there, and there was kind of what you would call a freeway system, a toll system that we could go up and down the peninsula. And so when we moved up north, we would still do our humanitarian. We'd go back and forth throughout the countryside. We put over about 45,000 kilometers on our car within the year and a half we were there.
Were there any other projects that had significant meaning to you, much like the tables and chairs?
You know, I'm going to twist it just a little bit for you. Again, we were asked by our mission president to go up and help start up a new branch. And that was quite a challenge, and a lot of people didn't like the idea, and we got to know a lot of people, and some people really liked the idea, but it was a big challenge. About 3 weeks ago, we got an email from the couple that replaced us, and that now is a full-fledged branch. And so our satisfaction was something of seeing the church grow temporally as well as spiritually.
Brother Walton, would you mind sharing your testimony with us? And then, Sister Walton, would you share yours as well, please?
I had a great testimony when I left. I had no question about the gospel and about its truthfulness. And during the time I was there, that we were there serving, our testimonies, I'll let Margie speak of her own, but my testimony grew. As far as the gospel is concerned, it did strengthen, but the main thing that the gospel that I'd learned, I'm having a hard time with this, where my testimony grew was in people, knowing that people, no matter what the circumstances are always willing to help one another. The Lord definitely loves me, and during the time that we were there, He protected me. I love the gospel for what it's done for me and my family, and the relationship that Margie and I have for each other. Our Father in heaven, He definitely knows who I am, and I'm so grateful for our Savior.
I know the church is true, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity that we had to serve in Malaysia. When we first got our calling, I knew then how much the Lord loved me, and we opened up the envelope, I just could feel it tingles all through my body about what we were doing and what was going to be ahead of us. And we had such a wonderful experience, and I knew as well that the Lord loved me, and that I was one of his children and that he was looking after us constantly.
You have been listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel.